Pretty much anywhere you go these days, it's pretty obvious people are hurting. People are anxious, they're fearful, they're lonely, they're confused, they're sick, they're in pain, some are dying. It's pretty obvious people are hurting. Yet, in the month of December, unlike any other month of the year, what people ultimately need is the one whose message is everywhere. In December, it's in the stores, it's in the mall, it's in people's decorations in their yards. It's in our music, it's on the radio, it's on the television, it's in the movies. For whatever reason, the message that people find offensive 11 months of the year, it is everywhere in the month of December. Yet, most people won't have ears to hear. They won't have a heart to receive. They're going to miss what they need most. Just like people did 2,000 years ago. That's what we want to talk about. If you have a Bible, turn with us to the Gospel of John chapter 1. If you just keep your finger there. I want to do just a little bit of build-up to John chapter 1. Last week, Ryan took us to the prophet Isaiah. The prophet said, "Behold, this will be a sign. There will be a virgin who will be with child. His name shall be called Emmanuel, God with us." So the people would wait for the fulfillment of the sign. And they waited, and they waited. After 300 years of waiting, in an act of discipline, God chose to go silent. Because of the idolatry and the sinfulness of his people. And for 400 long years, God was silent. These were very difficult years. The nation of Israel was conquered by one nation after another. Most recently, the Greeks were then conquered by the Romans. And by the opening of the first century, the people of God were miserable. They were hurt. They were confused. They were oppressed. They were sick. They were in despair. They were dying. Most had long since given up on the idea that God would ever keep his promise. Then, in a moment, as far as we know, for the first time in 400 years, God spoke through his angel Gabriel. He appeared to an aging priest by the name of Zacharias. Zacharias was married to Elizabeth, who was also advanced in years and was barren. The Bible refers to them as a righteous couple. The angel Gabriel shows up and tells Zachariah, "Your wife is going to have a son. And he will have one mission in life. And that is to point to the long-awaited promised Messiah, the Savior of the world. Zechariah said, how could this be? I'm an old man. To which Gabriel replied, and I stand in the presence of God. And God will do it. Then we get our first behold of the Christmas season. Behold, because you didn't believe, you will not be able to speak until your son is born. A sign to Zechariah, a sign to the people that something special was up. 6 months later, the angel Gabriel appeared to a young virgin girl by the name of Mary in a sleepy little village called Nazareth. And Gabriel opens with, behold, Mary, you're going to be with child. The child is actually going to be the Son of God in human flesh. And of course, Mary responds, how could this possibly be? I've never had relations with a man. And Gabriel answers, God will do it. Behold, Mary, you have a relative who is barren, who is now 6 months pregnant with a son, because with God, nothing is impossible. To which Mary replied, behold, I am a bondservant of the Lord. Do to me according to your word. Soon after Gabriel left, Mary went and found her relative Elizabeth. When she greeted her, the baby in Elizabeth's womb leaped for joy. And Elizabeth said to Mary, behold, when you greeted me, my son leaped for joy. And both Mary and Elizabeth worshiped the Lord. It's really hard to imagine waiting thousands of years for the fulfillment of a promise. And finally, the moment had come. On the night that Jesus was born, an angel appeared in the sky, probably Gabriel again. And he says, behold, I bring good news of great joy. For unto you is born this day in the city of David, Savior. It's Christ the Lord. It's hard to imagine that moment, which gets us to John chapter 1. Not going to go through all of John. I just want to highlight a couple parts, spend a little time on one particular verse. John opens his gospel by telling us that this one who had come, the promised Messiah, was the eternal God of the universe, the creator of all that is, the Genesis 1:1 God. who had now taken on human flesh, who would put on a pair of sandals and walk among them. Why did he do that? Chapter 1, verse 4, in him was life. And the life was the light of men. If you're with us in our study of 1 John this fall, this sounds very familiar. The language is very similar. Why did the promised one come to offer life? To satisfy the deepest longings in the human soul. This is what everyone is looking for. This is what everyone's soul longs for. And the promised one came, as promised, to deliver life. Verse 6, we're reminded of this one who came, John the Baptist. Verse 7, he came as a witness to testify about the light. Why did he do that? So that all might believe through him. John had one mission in his life, and that was to point to the long-awaited promised one. That everyone who is suffering, everyone in their pain, everyone in their emptiness, their anxiety, their loneliness, whatever it is they were going through, it was John's job to point to the one who ultimately had what they were looking for. Verse 14, the word, meaning Jesus became, God became flesh, and he dwelt among us. We saw his glory. Literally, the word came and pitched a tent among us. Hard to process, really. The Genesis 1:1, creator of the universe, God. Now in human flesh, dwelling among them. Just as promised, God with us. Verse 19, this is the testimony of John. When the Jews sent to him priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, who are you? And he confessed and did not deny, but confessed, I am not the Christ. They asked him, what then? Are you Elijah? He said, I am not. Are you the prophet? He answered, no. Then they said to him, who are you, so that we may give an answer to those who sent us? What do you say about yourself? He said, I am a voice of one crying in the wilderness. Make straight the way of the Lord, as Isaiah the prophet said. So John was attracting huge crowds. This was now about 30 years after his birth. This got the attention of the religious leaders in Jerusalem. So they send a delegation to find out, who is this guy? So they ask John, he knows what they're asking. He's quick to say, hey, I'm not the Christ. Well, are you Elijah? They were looking for Elijah. No, I'm not Elijah. Are you the prophet? No. Each answer gets shorter. You can sense his frustration. So they ultimately ask, well, then who are you? What are we supposed to say to those who sent us? He quotes from Isaiah chapter 40, verse 3. I'm a voice. I'm the town crier. making a way for the arrival of the king. In the ancient world, a king didn't just arrive. The way was prepared so that the king had a straight, smooth path, and the people were well prepared to receive the king. John had one job: to make sure the people knew the one they've been waiting for has arrived. Verse 24, now they had been sent from the Pharisees. They asked him and said to him, why are you baptizing if you're not the Christ, nor Elijah, nor the prophet? In other words, who told you you could do this? By what authority are you baptizing these Jews? Verse 26, John answered them saying, I baptize in water, but among you stands one whom you do not know. One, capital O, the one. Now think about this. They have waited. Generations have waited for hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years. Life had become miserable. Most had given up on any chance of the promise being fulfilled. Yet in that moment, what John is saying, he's here. The one. You just don't know it yet. There's some debate about whether John meant he's somewhere nearby or he's actually among us right now. The grammar would lean toward more the idea he's actually right here in the crowd standing here. There were thousands of people coming out. Could have been very easy for Jesus to be in the crowd. So think about this dynamic. They've waited so long. They're in so much pain, so much despair, so much hopelessness. And they have no idea that the God of the universe has taken on human flesh just as promised, and he's right here with us. It'd be a little bit like saying, hey, I know you're in pain this morning, but just so you know, God has taken on human flesh. You might not know that, but he's attending this service with us this morning. Just kind of mind-blowing. Makes me think about all the people that we would later learn about in the Gospels. In this moment when John made his statement, they were out there and they were in pain and they were suffering and they were struggling and they were in despair and they saw no hope. They had no idea what was about to change. There were the lame who lived in poverty and had no real hope, who in this moment had no idea that soon they would walk. They would walk again. There were the blind that resorted to being street beggars who had no idea this was all about to change and they would see again. There were the sick who would be made well. There were the outcasts that would be welcomed home. There were the prostitutes who for the first time would actually find love. There were the sinners and misfits and losers that had been rejected by the religious system that would find dignity and life in this one. There were the lepers who were outcast from the city, who would be cleansed and returned to their families. I think of some of the specifics. In that moment when John uttered that statement, there was a miserable woman living nearby in Samaria. She had gone through five husbands. She was living with a man that wasn't her husband because she had all but given up on any real chance at life. She had no idea what was soon to happen, that she would encounter this one and she would finally find the living water that would satisfy her thirsty soul. Right in this moment when John made his statement, there was a man who was possessed by demons, shackled in the tombs, away from everyone. But even that didn't work. He kept breaking the shackles. He was a wild man, more like an animal than a human. And he had no idea what was soon to change. That in a moment he would encounter this one. And he would be set free from his bondage. And before the sun would set, he would be commissioned to be a missionary of the good news of Jesus. There was a woman who for 12 years had been hemorrhaging. She was an outcast because of that, diseased, lonely, and miserable, who had no idea that shortly she would touch the hem of the garment of this one and be instantly healed and set free from her disease. In this moment, there was an official in the synagogue by the name of Jairus. He would have no way of knowing. Soon enough, his young daughter would get sick, and she would get so sick that she would die and break his heart. But this one would walk into his home, and he would raise that little girl back to life. In Jerusalem by the pool of Bethesda, there was a man who was sick, out of hope, out of strength, who had laid by the pool for 38 years. Before Jesus was even born, hoping that when the waters stirred up, somehow he could get in and miraculously be healed. But for 38 years, it hadn't happened. He had no idea that soon enough this one would encounter him at the pool, and he would be miraculously healed in a moment. None of these people understood what was about to happen because God had kept his promise. And the one they needed most was right there with them. But sadly, most would miss it. For one reason or another, most would ultimately miss what they needed most. John says it in chapter 1. He came into his own, but his own received him not. So they would remain in their sin. They would remain in their pain. They would remain in their suffering and their emptiness and despair. He was right there. He was right there. But they missed him. So they suffered. It's not so different today, is it? I know people are hurting. My heart goes out to them. I'd like to stand up in the mall and say, hey, I know you're hurting. I know this is a tough world. But the message of what you need, it's everywhere. Just listen. In December, it's in the music, it's on television, it's in the malls, it's in people's front yards. It's the story of Christmas. This is what you need. The one has come. God kept his promise. This is what you need. But most will miss it. They won't have ears to hear. Verse 29, the next day John the Baptist saw Jesus coming to him. And he said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. I don't know how they could miss it. He only had one job. Behold, people. There he is right there. That's him. After hundreds of years, that's him. Thousands of years from the promise in Genesis 3:15. There he is. Just as promised. The Lamb of God who has come to take away the sins of the world. The long-awaited Savior. Seems like it'd be hard to miss. It seems like God did everything possible to make sure they didn't. Years ago, the philosopher Bertrand Russell was asked, when you die, what if there is a God? Because he was a very outspoken atheist. And you appeared before this God. What would you say to him? And he replied, I would say to God, why did you make yourself so hard to find? To which I would reply, really? Really? The Bible's very clear that God has made himself known through the wonders of creation. The heavens declare the glory of God. Romans 1, Paul says, it's so obvious, God says, all people are without excuse. Can't miss it. Today, with the advances in science, we're more convinced than ever of the amazing complexities of the universe, which is why more and more scientists are turning to God, because there is no other explanation. How can you miss him? Just look around. But just take the Christmas story, just the Christmas story. God is so determined that people not miss the one. How about we have prophets hundreds of years beforehand make very specific predictions and prophecies so that when the one comes and fulfills them perfectly, there could be no explanation other than this is the one from God. And just to make sure people don't miss it, how about we get a young virgin girl who's never had relations with a man and she just turns up pregnant? Kind of seems like a sign or something. That should get people's attention. And how about when she gives birth, we put an angel in the sky and we tell the shepherds, hey, this is what happened. You've been looking for this for a long time. It's right down there, Bethlehem. Just in case people might miss it, let's put a great star up above and guide Magi clear from the east to find this one who has been born King of the Jews. But just in case that's not enough, let's take an advanced in age woman who is barren. Let's give her a son. His only job in life will be to point. There he is. Hey, don't miss it. There he is right there. And just to make sure people are convinced, how about we have him do countless miracles in public before thousands of people? Just to make sure they don't miss, this is the one. One more thing, just to make sure we're clear. How about after the Romans execute him? 3 days later, we'll have him rise from the dead. And it'll appear to hundreds of people. They can touch him, talk to him, eat with him, walk with him. And we'll record all this in 4 historical documents that today are considered the most reliable historical documents we have from antiquity. Maybe the problem isn't a lack of evidence. Maybe the problem is a will not to believe. You think about it in the first century, how much do you have to see? What would it take to be convinced? For some, enough evidence will never be enough. They don't want to believe. They don't want to hear it. And that breaks my heart. Because I know they're in pain. And what they need is right there. The Lamb of God shed his blood for the forgiveness of sin, to offer them life, a relationship with him, to satisfy the deepest longings of the human soul. No matter how this world breaks our heart, he's promised a future more glorious than we can imagine. He offers it freely to those who receive it. You may not know this, but 2025 is the 60-year anniversary of the Charlie Brown Christmas special. 1965. 30-minute animated celebration of Christmas. It's believed in 1965 when it premiered. Some 14 million viewers watched it. Just to get some perspective, if you take all of the televisions that were functioning in the world in 1965, half of them would have been tuned in to Charlie Brown Christmas. Partway through, Charlie Brown, frustrated and confused with all the stuff of Christmas, asked the question that a lot of people ought to be asking today. Does anybody know what Christmas is all about? And of course, Linus tells Charlie Brown, I can tell you. Steps to the front of the stage and quotes the passage from Luke straight out of the text. Behold, I bring you good news of great joy that shall be to all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior. It's Christ the Lord. It's believed over the last 60 years, maybe the most watched Christmas special. If it's not the most, it's at the top of the heap. Millions, hundreds of millions of people have heard this story right out of the Gospel of Luke. It's everywhere this time of year. Yet they remain in their despair, in their pain, in their addiction, in their loneliness, in their struggle, their hopelessness. Because they just don't want to hear it. But for those of us who believe, it's life, it's forgiveness. It's one who walks through us, walks with us through whatever pain you're feeling this Christmas season. I don't know where you're at. Maybe you're lonely. Maybe you're anxious. Maybe you're fearful. Maybe you're battling pain. Maybe you're battling disease. Some of you here this morning are in the process of dying, and you know that. Some of you are grieving. You have lost someone you deeply love. And it really hurts. But don't forget, the Savior has come. He is here with us to walk with us through whatever it is we're facing, to give us life, to satisfy the deepest needs of the human soul, and to promise us a future that's more glorious than we can imagine. So this Christmas season, behold, God is with us. Our Father, we remember, celebrate the message of Christmas this morning. We all know in the busyness of the season, it's just easy to lose sight of this. For those here this morning who have never experienced the life that Jesus offered, never experienced his salvation, may this be the day that they receive what they've been looking for so long. Lord, for those of us who believe, may we remember that in our struggle, in our pain, in our heartache, you are here with us. You will walk with us through whatever it is that's heavy on our heart this morning. Lord, this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.